At the start of 2022, before the University of Edinburgh had returned from its Christmas break, third-year student Arti Mukhedkar started a petition on change.org. The petition was entitled, "Sexual Violence at the University of Edinburgh. The redressal system needs to change." Just over a month later, the petition has reached over 50,000 signatures, and it started a movement. Arti talks about her experience in the university system for dealing with sexual violence cases as a survivor herself. She says that her case was so serious, it was deemed life-threatening. But the system that met her, that attempted to deal with her trauma and deliver justice, she says, is utterly unfit for purpose, mired in incompetency, delay, a culture of victim blaming. In her words, it's unfair, it's opaque, and it's hugely stacked in favour of the accused. And she's not alone. Since posting the petition, Arti says she has been contacted by dozens of Edinburgh students and alumni who say they have had the same experience. The demands for the university to deliver apologies to those who have been mistreated in the system are growing louder, as are the calls for systemic reform. This came to a head on Wednesday when Arti, along with a number of university societies, Girl Up, FemSoc and Urban Angels, held a protest on campus. I went along to see what was being said and to hear the reaction of the crowd.
Okay, so I've just arrived at the protest. We're in Bristow Square, a much bigger crowd than I had expected actually. There's a lot of people here. So just in front of McEwen Hall, there are around 8 speakers holding up placards saying Edinburgh University protests. So I'm no expert in crowd estimation, but if I were pushed to make a guess, I would say there are probably a good few hundred people here, maybe 200 people.
So the crowd was big, the crowd was loud, as you'll hear later, there were a lot of different chants. But what I wanted to know was why people were there, what purpose had they come for, what did they want to hear? And that's when the speeches started.
Peter Masters thought he could ask his secretary to copy paste from the university website, and we'll be quiet. He is very, very wrong. Woo! This isn't going to end till there is change. I will see to that, and I can say with confidence, so will everyone standing here with me today.
That was Arti speaking there, the student that started the now infamous petition against the university. She made a pretty direct and blistering attack on Peter Matheson, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Edinburgh, saying that an apology in the form of copy and paste by his secretary from the university's website just won't cut it, to which she got a lot of applause. After this, the speeches just kept coming, and they got even more powerful as they went on.
So we're now hearing a speech from a student who has come from abroad to study at the University of Edinburgh. And I must say, this is the most quiet I've heard the crowd be for the whole time I've been here. A real hush has fallen over Bristow Square. So towards the end of that speech, the speaker started talking about how they believe the Edinburgh system doesn't address inequities for trans and non-binary people, that it's geared towards catering to female experiences with sexual violence. And the next speaker is just beginning now.
The next speech came from Alex. Now, this was interesting because Alex was the only person on the lineup of 8 speakers to openly identify himself as a man. So, in an issue that is so often thought as a women's problem, I was hugely intrigued as to what Alex might have to say, but I certainly wasn't expecting this.
So, as this next speech begins, the speaker starts by saying that for the first time in his life, he is saying publicly that he's been raped. Obviously a huge moment for this person, Alex.
It was this moment that really made me take stock of what I was witnessing. I was standing in the middle of the campus of the University of Edinburgh, where we all go every day. And here was a man, Alex, talking to a group of people, most of whom he's never met before, saying for the first time in his life, publicly, that he was raped. This movement has clearly touched a lot of people. It has motivated people to tell their stories, not just of abuse, but of mishandling by the university. And so I wanted to get talking to the crowd, to the people who had shown up in the bitter cold, to show their support for Artie and all the other survivors who had been speaking. Why were they there? What did they think of the university system? Was Artie's view that the system is utterly unfit for purpose commonplace? This was what Ruby and Lizzie had to say.
So why have you guys come down today? What made you come down?
Because it's just stupid. Like, the uni are just so stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, the amount of people I know who have gone through stuff like sexual violence and stuff at uni and nothing's really come of it. And, it, you know, the uni have just tried to bury everything because they're more worried about the way they look than the way that students feel. Like, they just see students as money rather than people. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's really cool that there are those people here who feel the same. And it clearly shows that something needs to be done. And I think that's...
So you think that Artie's experience is quite common? So people go to the uni, they complain, and nothing comes about?
Definitely, 100%. I think that also, like, with that precedent being set, like, that's happened to so many people, and we've heard that of people being ignored, and then it's so hard for them to encourage people to then go and seek help. It just sets, even if they, like, people do end up going, it then sets a precedent that then other people don't want
to
go.
It shouldn't be brave for people to speak out about what's happened to them. It should be just like a right of way, and it should be something that should be dealt with immediately rather than being covered up. Because if someone I know went and shared their experience and then nothing came of it, why would I want to do the same thing? It's just absolutely ridiculous, and they need to change now.
Now, this seemed to be a common view among all the older students who were there, the third and the fourth years who were protesting. But it wasn't just them. Students from across the university were represented simply because they were angry.
Because we're angry. We've had enough. We're only first years. Some of the people here are third, fourth years, and they've had to deal with this since they joined. The fact that we're just joining now, and it's really just disheartening and scary to think that this is just going to carry on. So we're taking a stand. We're not going to shut up, and we're hoping that something's going to change.
We just want change. We want survivors to feel safe at the university, as well as we want everyone to feel safe at the university.
And what do you think of what you've heard today from survivors?
I mean, it's not surprising, but it's really saddening that the university continues to ignore victims. We've sent them a letter about it, and their response has been to regurgitate the same policies that they've had for years without actually making a change or taking accountability. And it's ridiculous and it's unfair.
Do you think they will make a change?
I think if we keep raising our voices, if people keep coming forwards, not that they should have to, not that they should need to go into the details of what's happened to them, but if we don't back down, then hopefully they won't have a choice but to make some sort of a difference.
So there's definitely hope in this movement. It also seems that there's a good deal of honesty. Meet Megan.
I just think it's ridiculous that the university is not doing anything about sexual assault when I think it's like 70% female, 30% male, and it's ridiculous the fact that it's like a ridiculous example, but like last weekend I was at Bongo's and some guy was like, kiss me, and I was like, absolutely not, like, no. And then as soon as I was like, I have a boyfriend, he was like, okay, cool. And I was like, you respect a man that you don't know over me? And it's just
I asked Megan why she thought this was such a problem at the University of Edinburgh.
It's down to posh that are so entitled. This university is full of Oxbridge rejects that have never been told no in their life.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
I found Megan fascinating because I could tell that behind the colourful language and the performance of what she said to me, she meant it. She knew exactly what she was saying, and it was grounded in her own experience. And it left me reflecting on a part of this conversation which I hadn't up until this point, and that's class. The University of Edinburgh receives the highest number of complaints about sexual violence of any Scottish university. It also has one of the highest proportions of privately educated students compared to the national average. Now, it would be completely inappropriate, illogical, nonsensical to draw a direct correlation between those two things. But Megan's point still stands. It's one about entitlement, people who perhaps have never been told no in their lives, and therefore, when they receive a scintilla of attention from someone, think that it's appropriate to make sexual advances without consideration of consent. Whether it's a point that has merit, or even a question worth discussing, I'm not certain, but the fact that Megan raised it was interesting to me. After the speeches had ended, I got the chance to catch up with Arti and asked her how she thought the protests went.
Honestly, I didn't really expect anything. I was, I tried not to keep my expectations too high because organizing protests is obviously a very challenging thing to get a lot of people to come, especially with Scottish weather. So, and also it's a weekday, so people have classes. But I think the turnout was amazing, and the amount of emotion and vulnerability and strength that everyone over here showed, not just the people who spoke, but everyone that was chanting and the people who made signs, was just went beyond the expectations, I don't know, but yeah.
And then, of course, the crucial question. What now?
Right, so as of now, they've gotten back to me with the fact that they're doing a legal review of the system, which is supposed to happen every year, but they said that they're going to prioritize it. However, I've not been given any further information about this. So I've asked them for sort of transparency and to involve me in the matter, because I think the survivor voice definitely needs to be part of that consultation. So yeah, I hope this protest will put a little bit of pressure on them to show that it's not just something that's going to be decided behind closed doors, and that we very much want to be part of the change that is being made and involved in how they're going to carry out the change.
Now, a lot of the chants at the protest were personal. They were direct. Arti mentioned by name members of staff who she thought had handled her case appallingly, and others nodded along and agreed with her. There are individuals who these people hold accountable for mismanaging their cases, and the chants clearly reflected that, especially this one.
Peter Masson has to go!
Now, the university have responded to these allegations and to Arti's petition, among other things, in a statement. Colm Harmon, who is the vice principal student at the university, said, and I quote, "There is certainly no motivation within the university to silence victims who come forward. Indeed, we strive to actively support victims. We have invested significantly in the report and support platform, and we promote the use of this platform across our community. We have also recruited a dedicated sexual violence and harassment liaison manager within our health and wellbeing centre to provide specialist service and to work with anyone affected by any form of abuse." And the statement goes on and on and on, detailing what the university is doing to help survivors. But the problem for the university, for Peter Matheson, the Vice-Chancellor who is so directly named by many of these protesters, is that Arti and the 50,000 people who have signed her petition and all of the protesters in Bristow Square, they do not want more of the same. They do not want a solidifying of the current system. They do not want to be reassured that the system in place currently works, because their experience says that it doesn't. And so as I left the protest, I was asking the same question of myself that I'd asked Arti not just a few minutes before. What now? What do I take from that protest? And where is this movement likely to go? It made me reflect on my own experience at uni, and made me realise that I'm extremely lucky. I enjoy university. I enjoy going onto campus and seeing all my friends. I enjoy going to class. But it struck me that not just from the attendance at that protest, but thinking about the numbers who had signed that petition, that for many, many people, that is not the case, that they fear going to uni. And I think the central takeaway is that this isn't just a problem for those who have been victims of sexual violence. This isn't just a problem for the 8 or so speakers who were standing in front of McEwen Hall on Wednesday. This is a problem for everyone, because any of us could become victims. And all of us probably do know victims. So far, the response from the University of Edinburgh has been words. Words that a lot of people might agree with, sympathise with and believe. And words that a lot of people, especially at this protest, deeply take offence to. They want a systemic restructuring, not simply an apology. Whether any real changes will come after what protesters say is years of injustice at the university is still yet to be seen. But on Wednesday, survivors of sexual assault were listened to. They were believed. Now, for many years, both in Edinburgh and well beyond, around the world, that hasn't always been the case. There's always been a suspicion. a certain hostility, a stigma attached to sexual violence victims. It seems that because of this movement, because of this petition, because of these individuals speaking out, that maybe that might no longer be the case in the future. Maybe people will always be believed. And of course, what we all hope is that change will happen collaboratively, both the University of Edinburgh and students working together as one to move forward and ensure that victims are protected and justice is always delivered. Ollie Lewis, Fresh Air Radio, in Edinburgh.